You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to Through the Bible, a five-year journey through the entire Word of God. Our teacher, of course, is Dr. J. Vernon McGee, and I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. And if you're like me, you're interested in studying the Bible because you want to know what God says about a lot of different topics. But at the end of the day, the most important topic of the Bible is how to know God for yourself. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." You know, many deceivers would have us think differently. And that's why Dr. McGee's study today in 1 Timothy 3 is so critical. But praise God, when His Word is taught faithfully, people's hearts are stirred to believe and their desires are changed for eternity. I'm excited to share with you two testimonies from listeners who heard God's Word and they've never been the same. A listener in Somerset, Pennsylvania writes this: "Many questions about the Bible are answered just by listening to your programs. I have struggled in my walk with God. However, it is 100% better because I'm understanding His Word better and I am even more in love with Him. I have overcome a lot of things, all because God set me down and put Pastor McGee's teaching in my life. Thank you very much for your obedience to God because it has produced obedience in me." Well, thanks for writing. And then here's another one from someone in Memphis, Tennessee. "I wrote you guys this letter in May. I never sent it because I wanted to put money with it. I didn't think I had enough to spare. I have now realized my salary is not mine to begin with. I was putting more faith in money than God. With great joy, I have enclosed money for fuel for the Bible bus. I also wanted to let you know how much your ministry means to me. Drugs have controlled most of my life, but I was led to Christ by Billy Graham. I started attending church and tried reading the Bible, but I couldn't make heads or tails of it or the many sermons I sat through. A good friend kept telling me about Through the Bible and mentioned that you were starting the ride through Genesis again. In these past 2 years, I've only missed the bus a couple of times. Today, I'm not half the man I hope to be, but I'm twice the man I used to be. I owe a lot of that growth to all of you." What a great letter. You know, as we study God's Word together, let's pray that we too can say we aren't who we hope to be, but so much different than who we once were. And let's pray many more hop aboard the Bible bus and join us. If you can, please bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us new hearts and lives by the power of your Spirit and the truth of your Word. We love you and worship you with our obedience today. Help us understand your Word now, and please draw many more into a relationship with your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. We're off to 1 Timothy chapter 3 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with us today to the fourth chapter of the first epistle of Paul to Timothy. And before we get into that, I should call attention to the fact that the word that opens up the fourth chapter, verse 1, is "now." That is, that's the way it is in our translation. But I think the better translation should be "but the Spirit speaketh expressly." That is, it puts it in contrast to what he has said back in that primitive creed of the church in verse 16, where he said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the world, received up into glory." And then, "but the Spirit expressly," and that's over in contrast to it. Now, this verse 16 is the great creed of the church, which actually we had to go over so speedily last time that I want to come back to that great statement that is made here: God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. And this, I think, is certainly Paul teaching the virgin birth of Christ. And it speaks also of Christ's existence before his incarnation, and that it was spiritual, of course. He was in the form of God, Paul says in Philippians 2:6. He was the effulgence of God's glory and the express image of his substance. The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 1:3, and that God is a spirit, and the Lord Jesus himself said that in John 4:24. Now, from this condition as God, not seen with human eyes, he came into manifestation, into sight, if you please, in the flesh. He became a man, and he entered into human conditions. And under these human conditions, the attributes of his essential spiritual personality were veiled. In fact, that's the thought that John gives in his gospel. The Word became flesh, that is, was born flesh. Or, we're told, he pitched his tent here among us. He was born flesh. He was made flesh and took his place here among us. And the thought there, he was veiled in human flesh. Just as God was not visible in the tabernacle, then he tabernacled here among us in human flesh. But now, since he's a human being, then he's like we are. We can know something about God. But under these human conditions, the attributes of his essential being was veiled. He did not appear to man what he really was. He was not recognized by them as who he was, the one who in the beginning was God and was with God and was God, and all things were made by him. Why, he came a little helpless baby, and he was the image of the invisible God as one with God, and he had all power in heaven and in earth. But down here, he took upon himself human flesh, and as a result, why, he was treated down here as an imposter, a usurper, a blasphemer. He was hated. He was persecuted. He was murdered. He was poor. He was tempted. He was tried. He could shed tears. He was a man of sorrows. Now, in all of that, he was not justified in the flesh, you see. He came out of the sphere of his spiritual being and came down to this earth. And down here, why, he took a lowly place. But now, you see, as it says here, he was manifest in the flesh. This is the way the world saw him, but justified in the spirit. And there were times when his glory broke out down here. There were revelations and expressions and witnesses of who he really was when he was down here. That was seen in his virgin birth and the presence of angels there. It was seen at his baptism, at his transfiguration, and at the time they came out to arrest him, and the things that even happened at his crucifixion that caused the centurion there to say, truly, this is the Son of God. But it was when he came back from the dead, we see him now justified, and he's now has gone back to the right hand of God. No enemy can touch him from now on. He'll never be dishonored again. No one in his presence will ever be able to do that again because he came down here. And the fact that he's gone back there, now it means our justification because down here he was delivered for our offenses. He was taking our place as a sinner. Now he gives us his place up yonder, and we're justified. And today, he's justified in the spirit up yonder and of who he really was. How wonderful this is. Now, in contrast to that, in the world, but the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, I have said in my notes that the latter times here refers to the last days of the church on earth. I want to say to you now that I want to change that, because I believe here that the expression in the latter times and the last days that are mentioned over in 2 Timothy 3:1, I think that the last days here had to do with that, actually, that was immediately following the life of Paul. Because you see, when he was in Ephesus, he had warned them that there would come in wolves in sheep's clothing that would deceive believers. And actually, the apostasy began at that time. John could say already there are many antichrists, and already error had entered into the church, and we find that many churches of the early churches had gone off into a heresy. Actually, the first great church was the Coptic church in Africa. It was way ahead of the others. North Africa produced some of the greatest saints in the early church. Augustine came from there. Tertullian came from there. Athanasius came from there. And many of the great saints of the church. But they went off into a heresy, you see. They departed from the faith, so that what we have here in the latter times has to do with that which was coming. It did not have the coming of Christ in view at all. But when you come over to 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days, there'll be perilous times. Then you're dealing there with a technical expression that speaks of the last days of the church here on earth before the Lord Jesus takes it out. Now, I do not think that here that is the thought that we have in mind. The latter times refer to our times today. And we do not know whether Christ is coming before this century ends. There's some saying that, but they don't know. And it's dangerous to teach that sort of thing, I believe, today. But the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, there would come in the last times, the latter times, not the last, but the latter times, it means that which was ahead of the church, and we've had just about 1,900 years of it now. Some, that is, there would be heretical teachers, and they would mislead a great company of people, and they shall depart from the faith. Now, you have this word here for depart from the faith. It actually means departure. And as we saw in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, that there would be an apostasy actually means that there would be a departure. And that departure was the rapture, that this matter of apostasy had been in the church a long time. That would not be new at the end of the age by any means. I think it will grow, and it has grown down through the years. And when the church is raptured, you will have on the earth an organization, as we saw in 2 Thessalonians. But that organization is totally apostate because the true church has been raptured and taken out of the world. And this has been almost literally translated here. Apostasy, that some shall apostatize from the faith, and that this is the apostasy. Well, that means to depart. It means a departure. And a departure means you've got to have a point, not only of where you're going, but where you've come from. And the place they've come from means they have professed at one time to hold to the faith, but now they have departed from it. And the word literally means, it's apohistomi. Histomi means to stand, and apo means away from. You see, you go away from a place. That's departure from a place. Now, the place that they were was the faith. They held it. Now they've departed from the faith. There cannot be an apostasy in paganism because they've never professed the faith. They've never professed to trust Christ as Savior. They've never heard about Him, and there can be no apostasy there. It has to come in the organized church. And that is exactly what Paul is talking about here, that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now, when they depart from the faith, what's responsible for it? What is it that's caused them to depart from the faith? Is it because they become highly intellectual? Is it because of scientific developments and the increase of knowledge is revealed that the faith cannot be held? Oh, no, no. They'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Now, actually, seducing spirits, and that word seducing is a very interesting word. It means wandering and roving, and it comes from the word vagabond, or a deceiver, or a seducer. In fact, Satan is called that, so that they shall give heed to seducing spirits. That is, this is satanic spirits and doctrines of demons. That's the correct translation. They'll give attention to that sort of thing. Now, there is a grave departure today. And the thing that has alarmed a great many people is this, that in this very materialistic age, there is a return today to the spirit world, and a great emphasis is placed on it. Now, we're told today to try the spirits, to see whether they be of God or not, because there's gone out into the world. There's gone out these seducing spirits. Now, the real test is this creed up here, that God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit, that the only way of salvation is through the death of Christ. And this is the way that you can test these doctrines of demons today. Now, there has gone over a very small segment of folk today. They are believers, at least they claim to be believers. And I can't understand why they've gone over into this great emphasis on demonism today. So many people right now are interested in that subject, and they read everything on it. Well, I think that we're seeing a real manifestation of it, but a lady called me all the way from El Paso, Texas, the other day, because believers there were getting involved in this, spending a great deal of time talking about it. Well, I want to say to you, I think that the best thing that you and I can do for the devil is to show him a clean pair of heels. That's the best thing that we can do, and not be a bunch of heels and stick around and get ourselves involved and engaged in all of this. And some folk are going around today casting out demons. Let's stay clear of this, because we are warned against this doctrines of demons. Stay away from it today and test everyone by its acknowledgement of the fact of the deity of Christ, that God was manifest in the flesh, and that we're justified through the redemption that he wrought for us on the cross. Now, the thing they do, speaking lies and hypocrisy. They pretend to be very pious and very religious. I've been in the church just long enough to always be suspicious of this very pious position that a great many people take, being super duper saints, that they've got something special. My friend, if you do have the truth, it'll have to make you humble, because if the first thing you're going to find out is really how little you know. I thought one time I knew a little about the Bible, but I've come to place today how ignorant I am. I've really got a whole lot of nerve to teach the Bible today, as ignorant of it as I am. But my friend, I look about me today, and I see those that are, they know practically nothing about the Word of God. And today, they are becoming authorities in this field. May I say to you, speaking lies in hypocrisy, pretending to be something that they are not, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, you remember, the thing that should characterize the visible church was faith and love. and a good conscience, tender-hearted people. I want to tell you, there are a lot of these folk that have gone over. They're talking too much today about sex in the church. And I want to tell you, I've heard some things that are happening in some places make my hair curl, what I've got left. And they are saying things, doing things. May I say to you, I don't think you could do them unless your conscience has been seared with a hot iron. You've got away from the Word of God. You see, you'd have a tender conscience in the church. Oh, today, the church needs to recognize how important it is in the plan and purpose of God, and it should not stoop to a low level. Now, this has been going on a long time. Even in Christ's day, there were folk that had gone off into cults and isms from Judaism. For instance, forbidding to marry, verse 3 now, and commanding to abstain from foods which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving by them who believe and know the truth. And these are diet faddists, and they make certain rules and regulations that are not in the Word of God, forbidding to marry. Now, in Christ's day, down by the Dead Sea, there were a group of Essenes, as they were called, and it was among them that the scrolls, the Isaiah scrolls, and they're called the Dead Sea Scrolls, have been found. They were down there, and even in Christ's day. And when Christianity came along, they hooked on to it, you see, forbidding to marry, and they had that, commanding to abstain from foods. And today, there are those that go off on that as if food would commend you to God. Now, it is truth if you eat the wrong kind of food that you get a tummy ache, but that hasn't anything to do with your spiritual life, my friend. It may affect it, but it has nothing to do with it. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. Now, the Word of God does not condemn it. It commends it. And if you can return thanks for food, then may I say that sanctifies it for your body, because the Word of God has already said. Now, there's certain things I can't be thankful for. Down in San Antonio, Texas, I'm told is a place that cans rattlesnake meat, and that's a delicacy, so I'm told. Now, if you would invite me to dinner and tell me you had rattlesnake meat for dinner and ask me to return thanks, I don't think I would. I'd say, I'm sorry, I can't be thankful for this, my brother. If it can be received with thanksgiving, why, you just go ahead, friends, eat it. Just whatever you can eat, you eat it. It's perfectly all right. Now, this is a very wonderful passage of Scripture, you see, because this is the very thing that a man of God today, a servant of God, is going to avoid. These are the things he's to avoid. And he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine unto which thou hast attained. And so I conclude with that. I have attempted to do what this passage says. I've attempted to put you brethren and some of you sisters in remembrance of these things. And I do that because I want to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And I want to teach the Word of God that's going to nourish you and build you up in the faith and establish you that you can stand not only in this world, but stand before Him someday. We'll break off our study right there today. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
One of the reasons Dr. McGee's clear and simple teaching of God's Word nourishes, builds up, and establishes us in our faith is because he teaches doctrine, which is a big word for the basic things that we believe. We can see from our study in 1 Timothy that teaching doctrine helps us to protect ourselves against error. Simply put, if we know the truth, it's easier to spot the lies. If you'd like to share these messages with a family member or friend, download Through the Bible's app or visit ttb.org where you can listen online. Or if you'd like to gift them with a copy of our Bible Bus flash drive that's got all of Dr. McGee's five-year messages, more than 100 of his digital booklets, and his notes and outlines for every book that we study, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. It's a great tool. It's packed full of trustworthy teaching. Again, the number 1-800-65-BIBLE, or check it out in our online store at ttb.org. And of course, you can always write to us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. What's so important about the church? That's the truth that we'll discover on our next trip on the Bible Bus. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll see you then.
Jesus made it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for our committed listening family who faithfully pray and invest in Through the Bible as we together take the whole word to the whole world.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, good morning, good morning. I am Minister Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. And this is to all our faith partners and radio listeners. We are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. Hallelujah. The church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services every Sunday at 11 o'clock a.m. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now here's Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there. Glory to God. He's mighty. He's great. He's able to do all things, exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And I pray today that the power that's working in you is the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the one that is able to do all things. Praise God, praise God. Well, today we want to look at the Word of God, and my subject is being born again. I want you to see exactly what the Word of God says concerning being born again. We've looked at St. John 3 when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, but I want to tell you something else. Apostle Peter, one of the apostles of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was explaining to us, praise God, about that seed. And I want to tell you today that when you plant a seed into the heart of somebody else, that is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. When you talk to someone and plant that seed, you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's the seed that should be planted into every person, whether they are born again or not, so that that seed can get in and germinate and manifest itself and bring forth the fullness and the reality of who God is in all of our lives. Praise God. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, glory to God, listen to what Apostle Peter was telling us concerning being born again. Now, when I say born again, I'm not speaking of the first birth, because again means this is a second birth that takes place, and it only takes place through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that one can be born again. You had a first birth, as Jesus told Nicodemus. Well, this is a second birth that takes place, and that's being born from above. But Peter has some striking words here to tell us today concerning being born again. Praise God. Minister Gloria, would you read the 23rd verse of...
It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
See, this seed that is planted, and I strongly believe that when we plant this seed in the hearts of people that will receive what you're telling them, because everything is a seed, praise the Lord. And when you tell people about being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is the seed. And many people today, as you've often heard, I assume concerning television and so forth, where people talk about sowing a seed. Well, I want to tell you today, they are talking about the Word of God. But most people have looked at it in terms of a financial expression where they say, well, send money. But I want to tell you, when you hear those things there, the only thing that you can come, whatever conclusion you can come to, it has to be a biblical conclusion. And the Word of God is the seed. Jesus said that. And I have to believe what he said in his word, that the seed is the Word of God. So Peter is saying here, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. In other words, the seed which abides and lives forever. This seed doesn't die. This seed is the Word of God. So when we plant this seed in the lives of people, I want to tell you today that the seed will germinate. If everyone that will believe and hear what you're saying and receive the seed, it will germinate. And when something germinates on the inside of an individual, what happens is it'll bring forth life. Because the seed is life. The seed is God. Now, when we look at in Luke, the 8th chapter, and verse 11, we can see what Jesus was telling us what this seed is. And I would pray that you will understand out in Radio Land that have tuned into this broadcast, when you hear folks talking about sow a seed, well, the thing that should come to your mind is the Word of God, not any money. And most people are using that was sow a seed. Well, you can't sow the Word of God with the monetary expression. The seed, as Jesus said, what the seed is what we have to believe what the seed is. And he tells us what the seed is in Luke 8 and verse 11. Mr. Glory, would you read what Jesus, when Jesus was talking and he was telling us what the seed is?
Now, the parable is this.
Yes.
The seed is the Word of God.
Now, listen to what I'm saying. He says, now, the parable is, this is what the parable is. The seed is the Word of God. That's why when we speak the word, praise God, we are sowing a seed into the hearts of people that will open up and receive the word that you're telling them. Because this is what they need. They need this word. And when we sow the word, which is the seed, which is the Word of God, folks' lives will be changed. Believe me, your life would be changed when you open up your heart and receive that seed. Praise God. This seed is powerful. And everything that we look around and we see, it is a seed. The seed brings forth life. The seed gives us an understanding, especially from a biblical standpoint, that it's life.
Amen.
Because this seed is incorruptible. In other words, it will never die. That's incorruptible, mean it will never die. And when we sow the seed into the heart of those that will hear and receive it, that word would germinate itself, or that seed would germinate itself, which is the Word of God. And that's powerful. And when you receive this seed, praise God, you're receiving the Word of God. And the Word of God will change your life. Each and every person that have received the Word of God, their lives are being changed. Their lives are being changed. And that's the beauty of it all, because you cannot receive this word into your heart and remain the same way. This is why the Word of God tells us, praise the Lord, that in 2 Thessalonians Praise God. Well, when we look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, when this word comes in into your life, you will be a new creature. Mm-hmm. If you receive this word, mm-hmm. you will be a new creature.
That's right.
Your life will be changed. Mm-hmm. And it'll be changed for the best, for God. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, this word, which is the seed of God, and listen what it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Praise God. Now, the seed in all of our hearts, we have received it, and therefore our lives are being changed. Well, I want to say this. Before we go to 2 Corinthians 5, let's look at Hebrew, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, because what we're talking about is the seed, which is the word of God. And the word of God is powerful. That's why it's incorruptible. Praise God. It will never die. It has all power. And what it is that this is why when we put the word of God on a situation, it's all powerful.
Amen.
It doesn't have or need anything else to help it. The word is able to do the job. And that's why I begin to look at, before we go into Hebrew 4, I begin to think about how powerful this word is, because it changed your life. And this is why God was saying, speaking through James 1 and verse 22, He wants us to be a doer of that word. He wants that word to be done in our lives so that it can change our situation. James says that, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So what happened is that this word has the power of its own to change an individual life if they receive it. That's why it's most important that we plant or sow the seed in the lives of people that we talk to or we witness and tell them how powerful this seed is. It will change your life. Now, this seed is so powerful, we want to look at Hebrew, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. And I'm going to ask my lovely wife here to read that. And let us get a clearer understanding concerning the power of the seed, because we've already spoken of, we've listened to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has said to us in Luke 8 and verse 11. He said that the seed is the word of God. So then when we look at the seed, we are actually looking at what the word of God is saying. So, Minister Glory, would you tell us?
It says, for the word of God,
yes,
is quick. That means alive.
Yes, it's alive.
Powerful.
Mm.
And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
This is the seed. The seed is the word of God. And the word of God, according to Hebrew 4 and verse 12, says the word of God is alive. When we sow the seed into the lives of an individual that will open up their hearts and receive the seed, it's alive. It's powerful. Praise God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's how powerful the word is. So Jesus said the seed is the word of God. So when we plant the seed into the heart of an individual that will receive the seed, it's alive. Thank God that the seed is alive, which is the word of God. And this is what Peter was talking about. And Peter says, well, being born again. You see, to be born again, receiving that seed, praise God, not a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, which abideth and liveth forever, forever. That's why the word, which is the seed, praise God, will never perish, will never pass away. The word, which is the seed, will abide forever. And this is why when we look at this thing and we see that it's alive, thank God that it's alive.
Amen.
And it's speaking life to the hearer, to the first person that opened up their heart to receive that seed, praise God, which is the word of God. Many people have been thrown off guard because they hear so much talking about, well, sow a seed. Sow a seed so that you can get this. Well, I kind of look at this thing from a spiritual application and see, well, what is he or she is actually saying? But then I listened to what Jesus said when he talked about the parable. He said, and the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So I could not take the seed and try to translate it into money. I have to look at what Jesus said, that the seed is the word of God. Now, if I want to give an offering or so forth is one thing. But when I use the biblical expression in terms of what Jesus said in Luke 8 and verse 11, Jesus said, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So when we talk about the seed, we're speaking from a biblical standpoint, the word of God.
Amen.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. I believe what Jesus said.
Yes.
That the seed is the word of God. So if the word of God is being sown in the hearts of the hearer, of folks that will open up their hearts and receive the seed, then it would be the word that would be coming into their lives to germinate and to bring forth life, because the seed is alive. The word of God is alive. And this is why we look at it, when you receive the seed, you become a new creature.
Amen.
Praise God. This seed will not just lie dormant in your life. The seed will change your life if you receive it.
Praise God.
Many people open up their hearts and receive the seed, which is the word of God, and it begins to change their lives. And you can see how the word takes place in the lives of folks that have received the seed. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, mm-hmm. It tells us that once you receive that seed in your heart and allow it to germinate, in other words, allow it to bring forth the expression of God, because that's what it is. The seed is the word of God. Then you will become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's why Apostle Paul was saying to the church of Corinth, yeah, it was the second letter that was written, and he was telling them about if any man be in Christ, well, the seed will bring you in Christ through your receiving of what the seed actually represents. It says, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he's a new creature. That old things are passed away. You see, what happened is that when this seed comes into your life, which is alive, it's not a dead seed, it's a live seed, and it's uncorruptible, it will change your life. It will change your life, but you won't grow any taller. You won't change any complexion. it will deal with you from a spiritual standpoint. And this is why it says here to Apostle Paul, it says, if any man be in Christ, it's a new creature, that old things are passed away. In other words, the seed will change your life. The old things, or the old way of life, will continually diminish, if not driven completely away through the process. But it says here that old things are passed away. In other words, the old way of life will pass away. And behold, he says, for all things become new. All things. Well, what does he mean by all things? Well, your life has changed because you received the seed and you now became a new creature in Christ Jesus. That your spirit now, that was dead, has now become alive in Christ. Has now become alive in Christ. And you're able to live and to do the things that God wants you to do. That's why it is so important that we understand what Jesus is saying when he said in Luke 8, verse 11, that this parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And the word changes your life. When you plant the seed doesn't lie there dormant. It begins to grow. It germinates. And it changes your life. And this is why Paul was saying there in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, that old things have passed away. So the old way of life is passed away. And one cannot receive this seed and continue to live the life that they were living before. The seed changes your life. Minister Glory, you know, the seed changes our lives.
Yes.
If we receive it.
If you receive it.
And that's why it says, and old things have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, all things become new. All things become new.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells us that then these things are of God. All things are of God.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yes.
That is what's taking place now. All things of God. So now you are moving toward the things of God to please God by the Spirit, which resides on the inside of you. The spirit that was dead is now alive and is now glorifying God. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
So it says, in all things that are of God, which was in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Who has reconciled us to himself.
Yes.
By Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what it takes. It takes a seed.
Mm-hmm.
Take the seed to be planted in the lives of people for their lives to be changed. You know, you can talk to people. You can say all kind of nice, sweet words to them. But if it's not the seed, I said, if it's not the seed is the word of God. If you're not speaking the word of God to them, praise God, then how is it that they can get their lives changed? Only through and by the seed, receiving the seed. So it says here that he's given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
And I tell you, once you receive this seed, it changes your life.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're not only a new creature, but you will become an ambassador for God.
Praise God.
You will go around telling people about the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You would go into hostile areas. In other words, places where people don't want to hear the word of God, you go in there and you tell them you're an ambassador of God.
Amen.
And you're bringing forth God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yeah.
You go planting seed.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Everybody should want to plant seed that's born again. As Peter was saying, that uncorruptible seed, which abideth and liveth forever.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
That is something.
This seed that's getting, we have to, we receive the seed.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Folks talk to us. They planted the seed in our hearts as we open up our heart to receive what the Word of God says. And that's how we begin to change.
Amen.
We allow the seed that we receive germinate in our lives, mm-hmm. listening and allowing it to bring forth that godly expression.
Yes.
Where the Word began to change our lives. Thank God for this parable that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about in Luke 8 and verse 11. Mm-hmm. Praise God. This parable now is the understanding of this parable that the seed is the Word of God. You know, Minister Glory, as an ambassador, mm-hmm. what happened is that an ambassador doesn't take his message.
No.
He takes the message of the commander-in-chief in the natural. Mm-hmm. Praise God. He tells people what the commander-in-chief is saying. So Jesus is telling us that once the seed is planted, we're to tell people about the goodness of who he is.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
Who he is. So we understand that when you hear, sow a seed, maybe they don't understand what they're saying. But if they read Luke 8 and verse 11, they can see that the seed is the Word of God. That's what you are to sow, the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And before we come to the conclusion of this teaching here this morning, I strongly believe that this is powerful.
Yes.
Praise God. I'm going to ask my wife, Minister Gloria, if she would just extend an invitation. She is sowing seed into everyone's life that will believe and receive the seed so that it can get into your heart and germinate so that it can bring forth a godly expression and a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Mr. Glory, what you say?
It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, mm-hmm. and shall believe in thine heart,
hallelujah,
that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Thank you, Jesus.
With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I want to tell you that you don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you need to do is to sow a seed, which is the Word of God, into the hearts of those that will receive it. God bless you all. Until the next broadcast is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.